This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Kate Melgus, ocean plastics campaigner at Greenpeace USA. Kate Melgus is here to tell us about the threat of plastics to ocean ecosystems and the Greenpeace Ocean Plastics Campaign. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Greenpeace?
Sure. Greenpeace is an independent environmental campaigning organization. We've been around since the early 1970s. We started up in the Pacific Northwest area fighting nuclear testing. We were born on the water, and we have been working on plastic pollution for a couple years now.
How much plastic is in the ocean? What do we know?
Yeah, so it's estimated that 12 million metric tons enter the ocean every year. So that's about the equivalent of one garbage truckload of plastic every minute.
And what type of plastic products are most common in the ocean?
That's a great question. We're finding a lot of food packaging. There's a lot of like chip bags and candy wrappers and bottle caps, styrofoam. There's also a lot of fishing gear that ends up in the water from industrial fishing as well. But we're finding a lot of single-use type plastic packaging materials in the ocean.
And how widespread in the ocean is the plastic?
It's everywhere. For the past year, I've had one of our ships, the Arctic Sunrise, on the East Coast and now on the West Coast. And we've been traveling up and down, conducting microplastic surveys in the water to identify the types of plastic and how much plastic we're finding. And we've done over 30 different trawling samples, and we've found plastic in every single location. The ship also went to Antarctica this winter. In January, February, was in Antarctica and found microplastics there in the ocean. And there's even been documentation of plastic found in the deepest parts of our ocean. In the Mariana Trench, there was a plastic bag found. So it's everywhere.
What is the route by which most plastic items enter the ocean?
So plastic enters the ocean in a variety of ways. One way is litter, just it being left on, you know, streets in the environment. It makes its way into the ocean. A lot of it enters from rivers and waterways into the ocean. A lot of trash also, if it's being transported overseas, like a lot of the recycling that we have here gets shipped overseas, will end up in the water. It can blow off, or if, you know, a container falls off a ship, which happens frequently on all kinds of ships. And a lot of the trash and plastic recycling gets sent over to countries like China was taking it, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and those countries don't have the infrastructure to deal with that plastic. And so a lot of it enters into the environment from that way, whether it's rain or water or, you know, wind or whatnot, but that's how it ends up in the ocean.
So why are plastics in the ocean a problem?
It's a problem because it's a toxic material. It fragments into smaller pieces due to the elements. And it's often mistaken for food by marine life. So we're seeing seabirds and dolphins and whales and fish and even plankton starting to eat plastics. And it's ending up in their bodies. It's starving them. It's ending up in our bodies if we're eating the seafood. It's ending up in salt. It's ending up in drinking water. It's a toxic material that's able to then carry more harsh chemicals along with it as it fragments into tiny pieces.
Say more about how sea life is affected by the plastic that's in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people have seen the video of the sea turtle with the straw up its nose. We've seen whales washing up on shores all over the world with bellies full of plastic. It's estimated that 9 out of 10 seabirds have ingested plastics and are feeding that to their young. And scientists have documented over 700 different marine species that are affected by plastic. So they're not only ingesting it, but they're also being entangled in it, whether it's nets or fishing line or, you know, small animals getting stuck in bottles or in pieces of plastic that have broken up. But it's affecting them from eating it, and they're getting entangled in it as well.
So which sea life is the most impacted by the pollution from plastic?
I don't know if there's one particular type of marine species that's more affected or not. I think across the board, it's affecting species from plankton starting to eat plastic all the way up to whales, you know, ingesting plastic, whether through the fish that they're eating or as they're feeding, ingesting larger pieces of plastic. But across the board, it's affecting all marine life and having a really negative effect on them.
How are humans affected by plastic in the ocean?
That's a great question. And there's not a ton of research on that right now. I know a lot of universities and scientists are looking into that. But, you know, if it's toxic and harmful to marine life and we're ingesting it, it's not going to be any better for us. So there's a lot of stuff that we're still learning about how it affects human health, but it is showing up in the seafood that we eat. It's showing up in our drinking water and our salt. So we are coming in contact and ingesting plastic. It's just not quite known how it's affecting us yet.
So which countries contribute most of the plastic pollution?
Yeah, a lot of plastic pollution. You know, there's a term going around about high leakage countries, and a lot of that is coming from Southeast Asia. But the plastic that is entering the environment from those countries is not plastic that originated in those countries. So the U.S. and Europe and Canada, we ship a lot of our plastic overseas, and they're sending them to countries in the global south that don't have the infrastructure to deal with the plastic. And so, yes, they're technically the countries that are contributing to the problem the most as far as how things are entering the ocean, but that plastic is coming from the U.S., from Europe, from Canada, from other countries, because we can't deal with it here.
To what extent does plastic recycling lessen the problem of plastics in the ocean?
Plastic recycling is important, and it's a good part of the solution, but it's not the solution. We know that over 90% of all the plastics ever created have not been recycled. So much of the plastic that we think that we're recycling, that we're putting in our recycling bin, is not actually recycled.
What is the best solution to addressing plastic pollution in the ocean?
We at Greenpeace see the best solution to addressing the problem is to stop plastic production at its source. So we need to see these big multinational corporations and retailers transition away from packaging their goods in single-use plastics, and they need to fundamentally redesign and rethink the way that they're delivering their products to consumers. It wasn't too long ago that we operated without plastic, like permeating our daily lives, and we know that it is possible. It's not going to happen overnight, but we really need to see a phase out of single-use plastic production.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kate Malgus, Ocean Plastics Campaigner at Greenpeace USA. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Before we speak about your campaign, Greenpeace recently released a 2018 report titled Carting Away the Oceans. And in part of the report, you evaluated supermarkets' efforts to address single-use plastics. What did you find?
We found that all 22 retailers surveyed had no comprehensive plan to deal with their plastic footprint. So across the board, everyone, I think the retailers realize that it's a problem, but they're just all at the beginning and starting to deal with it, and they have no policies or plans in place to deal with the issue.
Would you tell us now about the Greenpeace Ocean Plastics Campaign? What is the goal of your campaign?
Yeah, so our goal is to ultimately end the flow of plastics into our ocean. And the way that we see that happening and the way that we can contribute to that is getting companies and these big multinational corporations to stop making single-use plastic and to take a look at how they are packaging their goods and delivering them to customers and just completely redesigning that and looking for plastic-free delivery systems and packaging options and more reusable, refillable options.
What are some of the companies that you're targeting for the campaign?
Yeah, so we've, for the past year or so, been targeting Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nestle, Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks, McDonald's, Mars, Johnson & Johnson, all the companies, you name it. You walk down an aisle in a grocery store, go through a supermarket, and any brand that you see, it's all these companies that we're talking to and urging to phase out single-use plastics.
What steps do you recommend grocers take to reduce their plastic footprint?
Yeah, grocery stores have an important role to play when it comes to reducing plastic in their stores, and they can immediately eliminate unnecessary and kind of pointless plastic packaging. So, you know, when I go grocery shopping, it's pretty difficult to find produce that's not wrapped in plastic. It's like sometimes it's quite a mix, depends on the store, like the part of town that you're in. But I often see cucumbers wrapped in plastic or cauliflower wrapped in plastic. And so taking steps to eliminate that type of plastic, like an unnecessary plastic packaging right off the bat, is a great first step. And then taking a look at what their plastic footprint is and kind of where they can cut and make some improvements.
What would be some specific ideas there?
Right off the bat, just eliminating like problematic and unnecessary plastics and plastics that are hard to recycle. So styrofoam, plastic film, any sort of multi-layer plastic packaging. So that's like a foil and a plastic kind of bonded together. So similar to like what a chip bag or candy wrapper is made out of.
How have companies responded to your campaign so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of momentum on this issue across the globe, and companies realize that it's a problem and they're trying to figure out what they can do. A lot of the companies are immediately going to recycling and increasing recycled content, which is a good first step, but they're not addressing the problem with the seriousness that it needs for the scale of the issue.
So do you find a range of responses in the companies? Are there any of them that are just not interested?
They've all been pretty interested so far. I mean, I think it's a huge problem. It's every day there's some new article or new study or new city banning a certain item. And so I think companies are noticing that and they are feeling the pressure to do something. They're just, you know, a little like, where do we start? What do we do? And they're not quite moving as fast as they need to and not taking it as seriously as they need to.
How is the public responding to your campaign?
This has been one of the issues that I've worked on that has resonated the most with the public. People interact with plastic constantly in their daily life. From the time you get up in the morning, when you brush your teeth, to when you go to bed, you're constantly interacting with plastic, whether it's the items in your refrigerator or whatnot, or getting lunch out when you're at the office, that coffee when you need to get going in the morning. But folks get it and they understand it and they feel that they have no other options, or there are very few other options to plastic, because that's what's being forced on us from these companies, and it's hard to find things that aren't contained in plastic. So folks have been really, really excited about it and are really hungry for change.
What do you recommend that customers do to encourage grocery stores to reduce their single-use plastic?
You can talk to their store managers and also write a letter to the corporate. You know, if you shop at like a bigger store like Safeway or QFC or Whole Foods even, like send a letter to the corporate office, but also it's really important to talk to your local store managers and ask them, you know, what they can do, and, you know, say that you want this certain item not wrapped in plastic and kind of make that known, because customer demand will definitely trickle up to the higher ups and help create change.
And what has the campaign accomplished so far in your view?
We've seen a lot of momentum. We have a lot of retailers in the UK that are taking steps to eliminate single-use plastic through their own brand items, which is a great step. You know, I think we've helped drive some of the momentum around, you know, we're not responsible for any of the straw bans or the item bans, but we're part of this growing movement that we're a part of called Break Free from Plastic that's pushing on all angles. And we're seeing a lot of movement from local governments, from retailers, from companies. We're seeing a lot of momentum around the issue, which is really exciting.
Would you say more about Break Free from Plastic?
So Break Free from Plastic is a global movement comprised of hundreds of organizations, and we are working towards a future where we are not burdened by single-use plastic. And as part of that, we've been participating in beach cleanups all across the globe, and we have been adding a brand audit onto that. So it's your typical beach cleanup where you go pick up the trash. We then sort it by type and by brand and tally all that up and enter it into a global database. And we are going to be releasing results from global brand audits in early October. So we will be able to identify the worst polluters that we've found across the globe.
To what extent has progress been made overall in addressing the issue of ocean plastic?
I think it's certainly gained steam over the past year and a half, 2 years, even just since we started working on this issue about 2 years ago. It's becoming like a hot issue, kind of the trendy thing for people to care about and deal with, which is really exciting that it's become kind of a mainstream issue. I mean, we saw Kim Kardashian posted something a couple weeks ago about plastics in the ocean, which was just like pretty exciting to see that. And also like never would have expected people like her to be posting about an environmental issue like this. So it's gaining a lot of steam. We're seeing people kind of across both sides of the aisle, like whether you're an environmentalist or you're not, you can see and understand that plastic pollution is a problem, and like you know that it needs to be dealt with, and that's starting to make its way to the companies as well.
Would you just highlight a few of the companies that have taken steps and what they've done, in addition to the ones you've mentioned already?
Yeah, so Kroger, which is a supermarket chain, they just last week, I think, are going to ban plastic bags or phase out plastic bags in their stores nationwide over in about 7 years is like their timeline for that, which is a little long, but it's a good first step. Seeing McDonald's is going to eliminate plastic straws and move to paper straws. We've seen the same thing with Starbucks. Aramark and Bon Appetit, which are food service companies, are going to phase out plastic straws in stores. Aramark's going to look broader too at all single-use plastics in their operations, which is really great. I've seen a bunch of the airlines recently come out. So I think it started with Alaska Airlines that they're going to eliminate plastic straws in stores on their onboard flights. American Airlines has said the same thing. And United just last week announced the same thing as well, which is really, really great. So we're seeing kind of in every sector across the board, these little bits of change starting to happen, which is really great.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle, 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kate Melgus, ocean plastics campaigner at Greenpeace USA. To what extent have governments addressed the issue of single-use plastic?
We've seen in the States a lot of local bans on specific items. So like here in Seattle, we have eliminated single-use plastic straws and cutlery, which is really exciting. And San Francisco is looking at straws right now as well. A bunch of other cities in California, they're looking at takeout and to-go-ware as well and bags. So we're seeing a lot of those items starting to come up in with local governments and different bans. There are countries, entire countries, that are banning single-use plastics or phasing them out. I think Costa Rica is one. Kenya has banned plastic bags for the whole country. So there's a lot of momentum kind of at varying degrees across the globe. But in the States, it's been mostly bans on specific items.
So do you think the bans are the best policy to take?
I don't know what the best policy to take is. I think it's a good step and it helps get a conversation started and helps pushing companies to look for solutions and alternatives to single-use plastic. And it definitely starts changing culture in a way that needs to happen because we live in a very like throwaway consumerism, like gotta have this thing now culture. And it starts to address some of that stuff as well by eliminating some of these items that are central to that.
So where in the world do you think the best steps are being taken to reduce ocean plastic at this point in time?
Europe, they're looking at some comprehensive plastics policies for the entire European Union, which is great. They seem to be like leading the way in a lot of things, which is exciting to see. But yeah, I think Europe, and I'm sure there's other countries that have done a lot of other great things as well, but Europe is what comes to mind right now, just as trying to address the problem with like the attention that it needs.
So what are the prospects for cleaning up or removing plastics that are already in the ocean?
Yeah, that's come up a lot. I think, you know, it's going to take a variety of different steps to deal with the ocean plastics problem. And cleaning up is an important part of that. I don't think it's the only way to deal with the problem. A lot of the plastic is so small, like small enough that you have to have a microscope to see it, and you can't clean that up. It starts getting to be the same size as like the plankton and other marine life, and that's pretty impossible to clean up. So I think for cleaning up bigger items that are floating like closer to shore, like beach cleanups and those types of activities are super important and a great way to engage the community and remove the trash that has been in the ocean and washed up or that is about to make its way into the ocean is really important. But going to clean up an area like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is more of a soupy kind of mix of plastic, it's more small particles, is going to be pretty difficult to do that.
What are your thoughts on the boom that's traveling toward that area to try to clean it up?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's great what the kid is doing. I think it's really exciting to see someone like that engaged and been able to generate so much support on an issue. But, you know, I'm really curious to see how it goes. But I don't know how successful it'll be in cleaning up a lot of the smaller bits of plastic. I think for bigger pieces of plastic, like, sure. But for the microplastics, it's going to be pretty difficult to clean that up.
What are your plans to address the issue of ocean plastics in the future?
We are going to keep pushing these big corporations to eliminate single-use plastics and urgently do that. So you can see a lot more from us coming up in the next couple of months. We are going to release a report in October about the worst plastic polluters globally. So we'll be taking a look at some of those big companies and their plastic footprints and urging them to figure out what to do and to start eliminating single-use plastics.
What is the status of finding alternatives to single-use plastic products?
Unfortunately, there's no, you know, perfect solution out there. I think it's going to take a bunch of different solutions to solve the problem. And for each company, you know, for Procter & Gamble and for Unilever that make personal care products, there's a lot of chemicals in those products that would react to different types of materials in a way that I don't know. And that's not my background and not where Greenpeace should be figuring things out. But it's going to be up to these companies to figure out what works best for them in a plastic-free packaging delivery system and so more reusable models.
Could a shift to bioplastics be part of the solution?
Yeah, bioplastics, I think, are in some ways a good alternative. Sometimes a lot of bioplastics, they can be compostable, but not like thrown in your backyard compostable. They have to go to a industrial facility to compost. And we have one of those here in Seattle, but a lot of other places in the country and in the world don't have access to those facilities. So then when they're discarded of, they're even put into the recycling because people don't know, you know, what they are. And then they end up clogging up that system or they're thrown into the trash. And what's the purpose of it? So it's an interesting like intermediate step. There's a lot of food crops that are being displaced too in order to grow the crops for bioplastics. So that's a whole another issue. And we really want to see, as Greenpeace, moving away from a single-use type society. So not replacing plastic with paper or some other single-use type of item.
So what steps can be taken to get people to move away from single-use items?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that people can do in their life. It's going to require a little more work, but like carrying a reusable coffee mug with you when you go, you know, get a drink someplace. If you are able to use a metal straw, then I carry one of those with me. It's, you know, if I want a straw to drink with, then I use that. Same with going to the grocery store. If you get something from the deli, you can bring your own glass container to have them put the meat or whatever you're getting in there. Carry your own cloth produce bags, if you can remember to bring them. But there's a lot of steps that people can do in their lives to avoid plastic. It is hard because it's still very prevalent and everywhere in our society. But then that's where calling on these companies and making phone calls and writing letters or sending emails to these companies and the supermarkets that you frequent or the brands that you frequently purchase is really going to play a big role in that.
Do you have any additional thoughts about what companies can do to make it easier for people to not use single-use items?
Yeah, I think it's really going to take them fundamentally just like redesigning the whole way that they bring products to people. And I don't know exactly what that looks like for a lot of these companies, but we weren't operating in a plastic infiltrated society, you know, 50 years ago, and we are now. So it is possible, but moving more towards reusable, kind of bringing back the milkman, you know, that kind of thing, but more kind of distributed local models of goods delivery, I think, is a good start to that.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would say that, you know, keep doing what you can to avoid plastic in your life. But it's really going to take calling on these companies. And so it's, yes, we need to recycle, and yes, we need to do our part, but it's really up to these companies, and we need to push them to do that to reduce their plastic footprint and deliver goods to us that are not contained in single-use plastic.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Kate.
Thanks so much, Dan.
You were just listening to Kate Malgus, Ocean Plastics Campaigner at Greenpeace USA. For more information, check on the web at greenpeace.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening. And be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.